Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, why not check out our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Hello, hi. Over the last few weeks, we've covered a number of topics linked to improving our well-being. A well-being mindset, physical, emotional, spiritual, relational. And with 2 weeks to go, I'll be covering financial well-being. What do I think God wants to say? I suppose as I've been preparing, he's been reminding me that he is wanting to be lovingly active as the provider in all areas of our lives. I don't need to say that money and finances have a massive impact on other areas of our lives. In this talk, we're going to be focusing on looking at God's plan for us by addressing three basic mindsets that we need to cultivate towards money and our finances. Then three practical suggestions on how we can take steps to improve our financial well-being. I can't promise you increased income nor easy fixes for reducing your outgoings, I'm sorry. But I can maybe suggest a way of approaching our finances that are biblically based and are built on God's faithfulness and promises to us. His truth is our rock. So did you know? I bet you do, with so many online courses and awesome quiet times being undertaken by you all throughout this pandemic, that 16 of the 38 parables are concerned with how to handle money and possessions. One in 10 verses in the Gospels, that's 288 verses, deal directly with how to manage our money. But you knew that, didn't you? Money can often be the cause of relational and marital stresses. In a recent survey, it was noted that 77% of UK residents were stressed about money, with 17% very stressed. 14% worried every day, and an additional 12% every few days. 80% said they'd be happier if they had more money. 20% feared looking at their bank balance. And maybe most concerning was that 38% of people didn't want to talk about their money struggles at all. Imagine living without stress and anxiety. Imagine for a moment living in financial peace, having margin each month with opportunities to save for the future and to give to others in need. Well, we honestly don't live with financial margin and peace by accident, but by intentionally managing our money well. From the beginning of the Bible in the garden, we were given responsibility by God to steward all of creation, his provision to us. And since the fall, our human nature has been to focus living independently of God, believing that our lives, our money, our possessions are our own. But for those of us who are believers, you know that Jesus has restored our relationship with God, our Creator, and our identity and purpose and destiny as stewards over all of his creation and his provision to us. As followers of Jesus, we accept that through Christ's death and resurrection, we belong to God. Just as we read in 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own, you were bought at a price. But this is true for everything else that we have. In Psalm 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. I like the picture that is conjured from this quote from Robert Morris, Beyond Blessed. When you truly deep down acknowledge that it's all God's anyway, you'll feel your spiritual fingers loosen their iron grip on things. You'll finally experience release from the crushing burden of thinking you have to hoard everything that comes your way. It's not ultimately up to you. You can let go now. A stewardship perspective is foundational to us starting to have financial peace. Once we acknowledge God is the owner, we can start to think about how to manage his provision to us his way. And I think you'll agree his ways are the best. Once we have a stewardship foundation, we are then faced with how to avoid materialism, balancing the competing perspectives around us like poverty perspective and materialistic mindsets. A poverty perspective is obviously based on scarcity and often accompanied with a fear of lack. But what do we see demonstrated through the Bible? Right at the very beginning in Genesis 2, we see God provided for their every need. And even after the fall, Throughout the Old Testament, we see God providing for his people's needs. And as we move on into the New Testament, it is even clearer that God is our Heavenly Father who wants to provide for our basic needs and free us from fear and worry. God isn't a God of scarcity or lack. He's a faithful provider. Matthew 6, 25 to 33 is titled, Do Not Worry. And I just want to read for you verse 25 that says, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Materialistic mindset is an overemphasis on physical comforts or preoccupation with acquiring of wealth and material possessions. Please note, this applies to whether you have a high income and even if you have a low income too. The root of this mindset is putting our trust in money and possessions and not in God. What did Jesus say about this? If we look in Luke 12, 15, life does not consist, he says, in an abundance of possessions. And that is true regardless of what the world around us continues to say. Jesus' invitation in Matthew 6, 33 is to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Why is this so important? Because seeking first God's kingdom and his values will help to free us from materialism and start believing his promise of provision and will release us from fear of lack, even in a time of bleak economic outlooks. We've been relating our well-being series back to Elijah and his walk with God. And even here, we see how God provided for Elijah. His story, which is set against the backdrop of a three-year drought, does not limit God to work in this situation. And we read in sort of 1 Kings chapter 17 and 19, some sections here. So first, at Kereth Ravine, the Lord saw to it that ravens brought Elijah bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And then when the brook dried up, God then sent Elijah a widow, miraculously supplying both his and her family's needs. Finally, God provided for his exhausted prophet in the desert by bringing bread and water through an angel. Now, many of us will not experience such dire financial and material situations, nor will we ever have been fed by ravens or angels, nor have our food supernaturally multiplied. Oh, hang on. I'm just going to share a story of God's supernatural provision for Joe and I. A number of years ago, we had invited a new family at church over for lunch. And we put our lunch in the oven before we left for church. And when the family arrived at church, they had invited some of their friends to church and also for lunch with us. A natural cultural thing for them, but a real lesson for us. We were going to definitely not have enough food. There were five of us, five invited guests and five unexpected guests. We were worried throughout the service, but we had limited finances at the time and we'd spent much of our budget on providing food for 10 people. We got home after church slightly before the 10 guests arrived. Chaos in the house, raised voices and panic. Then our guests arrived, smiles and hope. Joe prayed over our food, but not quite as we normally do. As Joe started to serve the food up for the children first, then the adults, the casserole bowl that was filled with chicken didn't seem to be going down. Amazingly, there was enough, not just enough food for everyone to have food, but there was enough for seconds for those that wanted more. And there was plenty left over. I mean, it's a real testament that God continues to multiply food in these days too. The third mindset that we need to cultivate is one of contentment. Integral to living out God's plan for our financial well-being is the need for us to manage the resources we've been given, whether they're large or small, so that we end up with margin. Financial margin means that instead of living beyond our means or just up to our means, we live within our means. One of the most common reasons we don't have financial margin is that we're not content with where we're at or with what we've got. Often our desire for more isn't based on what we need, but what we want. Driven by consumer culture or advertising, comparing ourselves to others, keeping up with the Patels or the Husseins, or if you want, the Smith and Joneses too. What does the Bible say about this? The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And in 1 Timothy 6, he goes on to say, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Both really powerful verses, aren't they? Cultivate a habit of thankfulness for what you do have, not focusing on what you don't have. Growing in contentment is a very effective antidote to materialism, all founded on the truth that God is our provider. We're going to take a look at how we can take action to step out in faith on these mindsets after our well-being interview. Today, we're going to hear from Fee, who will be sharing about how during this recent lockdown, she's been able to address many of the mindsets and actions that we are talking about today. Hi, Fee. Welcome to the Wellbeing Financial interview. Can you just tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Fee. I am a member of Central Community. I've been a member of Birmingham Vineyard for about 6 or 7 years. I have done service leading and been a small group leader in the past. I normally attend the morning service at Central Site.
Yeah, indeed. So in terms of the talk, what prompted you to seek help in terms of your financial budgeting?
So about a year ago, I bought my first flat, which was very exciting, but also totally wiped me out. And there were problems with it when I first moved in. Like, there was a flood in the first week, which I had not anticipated, and had to spend extra money on fixing things, had to borrow off my parents and just whack some stuff on a credit card. And I was traveling to London a couple of days a week for work, which was costing me train fare. And money was just really, really tight. And it just had me really worried, really anxious, really stressed all of the time. And then even when COVID hit and I wasn't traveling to London anymore, that money I didn't seem to save. I just seemed to spend it on other broken things that I hadn't anticipated, and Amazon, because I was bored and I wanted things to do. So I bought jigsaws on Amazon. And then it kind of got towards the end of the year and I thought, this is not how it's always going to be. And I probably need to be better with this money and steward it better. I've wasted it on so many things and I'm going to need it. I need to replace my boiler at some point. I need to start saving money and paying down my debt and just take better control of things.
Okay. So what help did you receive then?
So I asked somebody from church who is an accountant who had already offered a long time ago. Yeah, I'd already offered a long time ago to help me the budget if I needed one. So I asked him and he sent me back, said, yes, sure. And then sent me back a load of questions about whether or not I understood the difference between investments and savings. If I had some sort of financial role model, to which I all panicked and went, what is this? I just wanted a spreadsheet with pretty colours. That's all I wanted. And then I sat with him on New Year's Day to kind of go through it. He's a bubble buddy, so it's fine. No COVID breaking rules. And we sort of picked through my attitude towards money. And I realized those questions were about looking at how I look at money and what my priorities are and what I wanted to do with my money and whether I wanted to be generous or not and things like that. And that was really, really helpful to realize it wasn't just about numbers on a spreadsheet. I had to think about my attitude towards it. So he helped me work all of that out, and he gave me a spreadsheet as well.
Oh, excellent. So how did that impact your finances and your overall well-being?
It was really, really, really good, really important. I'm now not so scared of money. I actually quite like filling in my spreadsheet with my money. I got a little disappointed this week when money didn't come out of my account on a couple of days and I couldn't update the spreadsheet. But it gives me a lot more control now. I know what's sort of going on. I can put money aside for things. I can slowly every month pay down my debt and put money away in savings. But also things like what my priorities, like if I want to be generous, I want to be able to give money to people. I want to be able to help them when they need it. Often I get a little stressed and worried about that because I might give a little bit more than I really had within my means that month. because I feel like that person needs it more than I do. So I give it, but then I panic and I feel upset and worried because I've given too much. But by budgeting, saying this is my giving pot, for things like this is my gift pot. I had loads of friends with birthdays in February, but it's okay because I got a gift pot and I've already put that money away, which meant that it was really joyful to start looking for presents for them and to buy things for them and to plan. And if something comes up, I can give generously because actually I don't have to worry about it. I had budgeted for that. I'm not giving outside of my means. I'm giving within my means and I can do it really joyfully. Plus also I'm like shopping for food in advance, and which means I eat healthier, so much less waste because I'm planning. So this has that knock-on effect to other areas of my life as well. So just by getting in control even of that one area has really helped my sort of well-being in other areas as well.
That's fantastic. And just a quick one, do you think you could have done this on your own?
Nope. No. I've tried before. I've made spreadsheets before. I love a spreadsheet. But I really couldn't do it on my own. I needed an attitude shift. I needed a way of the way that I looked at things and how I prioritized things needed to shift. And it was actually really good because now that I've been able to get a little bit more of a change in my life and a change in my attitude towards how I deal with the money that God has given me. I had a change of role in October at work, and now I'm in charge of quite significant pots of money, of public money. And that's quite a scary thing. And a year ago, I would have panicked and I probably would have just wasted half of it. And it would have been, I would have been so disappointed and so stressed. And this time round, I felt much more in control because I knew what my attitude was and I knew how I wanted, what I wanted to do with it and how to steward it well. So, I definitely needed someone just to point me in the right direction and set me off on track.
That's fantastic. Fee, thanks so much for sharing today and being so open and honest with us. Fee, I really look forward to meeting up with you in person at a service soon, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, bye.
So now we're going to look at moving these attitudes into action. And I want to share three practical steps you could use thinking about what we've heard from Fee. Firstly, budgeting. Assess where you're at financially. Are you regularly spending more than your income? Develop a budget, or at least have an idea how much you can spend every week or month. Look at reducing your debts. If you need help addressing some of these issues, please contact the church office. We do have people that are able to kind of give you advice and debt advice and be able to help you through the process. Your budget must include and must try to include saving for, like Fee said, essentials and emergencies, the future, giving and wants. Yes, there's nothing wrong with wants and spending money on things you want, providing you can pay for them without borrowing. In 1 Timothy 6, 17, Paul encourages them to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Genuinely, if you're struggling to budget, and especially if you're on benefits, please contact us for advice to assist you with debt and financial support. These steps will help to shape your spending, and you can start to live below your means and in turn have some financial margin, contributing to an increase in financial peace and well-being. Secondly, I want to couple the idea of budgeting in order to save and give with generosity. And once again, the Bible speaks about this when Paul says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. This may be the most important reason of all to save, because if we don't have money, we can't give. Jesus himself famously stated that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And there's plenty of research that shows being generous helps contribute to our sense of well-being. We are generally happier, less depressed, and healthier. But generosity doesn't just benefit our feelings, it also affects our finances. Contrary to what we might expect, the Bible teaches that because God is generous when we're generous, he is waiting to resupply us with his abundance. This is taught consistently throughout the Bible. As we read in Proverbs 11, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. This is a stunning declaration of a link between generosity and financial well-being. Of course, the Bible does not teach that we should give to get, rather that we should get to give. This is a massive privilege. Our motivation should be one of gratitude and a desire to be generous towards others. We're not supposed to give reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. As we give generously with gratitude and joy, we have this promise. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You can't outgive God. God is calling us into a journey of generosity with him and encourages us with really practical ways too. This is a great time to think about the principle of our prioritized giving first to God, which runs throughout the Bible. If we believe that God is the Lord of our lives, then he must be prioritized and put first. Because ultimately, we believe as Christians that he gave us the first and the very best, his firstborn son, so that we might be adopted in his family. Some consider that the starting place for this kind of giving is the long-established biblical principle of bringing the tithe of one's income as an act of worship to God. And we see that in Genesis 14, 20, Leviticus 27, 30, Malachi 3, 10 to 11, and Matthew 23, 23. I and many others would say that the New Testament focus, though, is on a broader principle of grace-motivated generosity. My testimony and that of many others is that when we start putting God first and tithing, it seems to allow God in to sort out our finances, even though this doesn't seem to make sense. He is, after all, a supernatural God. So we budget, we're generous, and now our third practical step. And I encourage you to pray, pray, pray. Pray that God will help you be living within his will through spending carefully, saving wisely, and giving generously. Pray that God will help you with your belief that he will provide, especially if you struggle in this area. Let your prayer be specific and persistent. I mean, coming back to Elijah, we see these four points relating to prayer adhered to in 1 Kings 18 when he was praying for rain in this three-year drought. Elijah was devoted to the will of God. We know that when we read the story. He believed that rain would come and he declared it to the king. Specifically, he prayed for rain, even though it had been a drought for over 3 years. And he was persistent in sending his servant back 7 times and until he'd seen the cloud. There is much we can learn from Elijah about faith and prayer. And let's not forget that Jesus himself taught us to pray each day for provision with, "Give us today our daily bread." And as I'm finishing, I just wanted to mention this. We often sing songs about surrendering all. And there are people in the Bible where God has requested this of them. For example, Elisha in 1 Kings selling his oxen to follow Elijah, and the disciples when Jesus said, "Come, follow me." This could be a call that God places on your life at some point. In our move to Birmingham, God called Joe and I to give up everything, secure jobs we loved, our own family home, friends of 25 years, and our ministry as church leaders. But we knew from experience of falling on his provision that we could trust him with everything. In Mark 10, Jesus says, "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." This level of trust is even more important in these days, where there is increased pressure on finances and increased instability with employment. And the forecast is for a number of years of slow growth in the economy. If we can steward God's provision to us well, we can be the generous people, the church and church God is calling us to be, and positively blessing and impacting those around us. After great depressions, there are often times of exciting growth and opportunities for the fulfillment of ambitious projects. Maybe, just maybe, God has been preparing you during this period to plan for a gloriously blessed change of course. God wants to actively journey with us towards our financial well-being through renewed mindsets and stepping out in faith in him as our provider.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
Why not come along and visit us? We gather at 3 services across 2 sites on a Sunday and meet during the week in small groups across the city. More information on both of these can be found on our website.
Thanks for listening, and God bless.